The problem with both cases is that we're dealing with people who have severe mental disabilities. Evidence has been presented about that. And in particular, in the case of Georgia, there's a reverse onus. As you know, in the normal case, the state must prove its case beyond reasonable doubt. And then when we get to the evidence in mitigation, in this particular case, it has been reversed. And now he had to prove that he had adaptive behavior and significantly sub-average general intellectual functioning.
Let me just get this a little more clear. For those who aren't familiar with the phrase like reverse onus, the burden of proof now in Georgia is for the defense to show that the mental retardation is beyond reasonable doubt.
That's right. In the normal case, the burden is on the state to prove all the elements of the crime. But in this case, once that has been done, they've reversed the onus. And this is not the case in any other state in the United States. And as far as I know, not in the rest of the world as well. They've reversed the onus and they put the onus on the defendant to prove that he has mental retardation above reasonable doubt. And he was unable to do that.
And in the case of Texas, what do you say about that barred? The same stipulation clearly doesn't apply, but you would argue that the mental capacity was still beyond question.
Yes, evidence has been presented. In his case, he was 19 years old when the crime was committed, and expert opinion was provided that he has structural brain dysfunction. His IQ is assessed higher than in the case of Mr. Hill in Georgia, but this could possibly be traced, according to the experts, to fetal alcohol syndrome when he was being expected by his mother. And this is not taken into consideration then. And so the overall argument is that international law prohibits the execution of people with mental retardation. And in both cases, there's significant evidence that this may be the case. And in the case of Georgia, then this reverse onus has really made it very difficult for the defendant to prove that this was the case.
I think it's correct to say that Texas is far and away the state in the US that puts to death the largest number of people. Do you suspect that in Texas and elsewhere, what you call extrajudicial killing, in a system that permits judicial killing, is happening more often than many people are aware?
Yes, in this case, it's not extrajudicial execution, but it's through the legal system, but it's arbitrary in the sense that it violates international law. And in Texas, if one looks at death row, for example, at the moment, there are something like 40 prisoners on death row. More than half of them are black. So there's the racial dimension as well. And there's certainly a class dimension also, that people who can afford lawyers normally don't, and lawyers who can defend their case at a certain level normally don't end up in this sort of situation.